You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pictures tell the story. People flock to beaches and parks and lakeshores over the warm Memorial Day weekend. On the Illinois border in Lake Geneva in particular, there were crowds without masks, swimming, sunbathing, visiting restaurants, lining up to go to the beach. And the Dells is partially open for the summer with more resorts back online. So what are you seeing in your community after the state Supreme Court struck down the statewide stay-at-home order 2 weeks ago? Are more people going to work? Do you see more cars on the road or in store parking lots? What do you notice? We're at 800-642-1234. Madeline Fox is WPR's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Maddie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Rob Mentzer is here as well, Wisconsin Public Radio's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Kate. Thank you.
So let's start with you, Rob. Since Governor Evers had wanted the statewide order to stay in place through Memorial Day, that didn't happen. What did you see in Wausau over the holiday weekend?
So, you know, Wausau, there certainly is a tourism sector here, but it is not the sort of like tourism-dependent economy that you see in Minocqua or other parts of the Northwoods. So I would say here in Wausau, it's like a lot of other places, there are signs of reopening, but it's not happening all at once. There's activity on the main streets, but there aren't the sort of like massive crowds that people were talking about in Lake Geneva or whatever. There was a photo that circulated on social media of a car lineup on the freeway heading north. And according to someone I know who has a cabin up north, it was taken around Tomahawk, a little bit north of me, where there's road construction happening that caused this like traffic delay. And so you got this effect that, oh, there's people flocking to this area. But I think it's, you know, in some ways, I think it's possible that some of the social media images give a little bit of a misleading picture. There are such things as people, you know, large crowds, people who are choosing to pretend like there's no virus. But based on the data that we have and observations, that is a small minority of people. So I think, you know, from what I can tell from reports I have seen and people I've talked to, there was activity in the Northwoods, but it was down from what you would expect on a normal Memorial Day weekend, even though, you know, it was up maybe from what you would have expected 3 weeks ago or something.
Well, from the Northwoods now to Milwaukee, Maddie, you know, in Wisconsin's largest city, what have you noticed over the holiday weekend?
So just like the rest of the month, as things have gotten warmer, there's been a lot of people out running and biking and walking their dogs, maybe meeting up in smaller groups. Over the weekend, I went out to Lake Park, and I also drove by a bunch of other parks. I was out running errands, and there's a lot of people out. I would say most seem to be sticking to smaller groups. They were maintaining, you know, at least a decent amount of social distance from other people out there, other families, other groups. It was, you know, there were a lot of people out just because it was Memorial Day weekend. There were people grilling, but it didn't seem, I would agree with Rob, that I didn't see anything like some of the videos I've seen out of Lake Geneva or Lake of the Ozarks or all these other places. So it's been not perfect, but I do think people are taking this a little more seriously.
What was it like for lakefront beaches along Lake Michigan?
So there were definitely people out there, and again, sort of gathering in groups that seemed to be, you know, either family units or people who, you know, not massive crowds so much as groups of people who knew each other, kind of trying to, again, keep that distance, again, somewhat imperfectly, but still definitely it didn't look quite like a normal Memorial Day weekend at the beach.
We're discussing the pandemic with two WPR reporters. We have Madeline Fox in Milwaukee, Rob Mentzer based in Wausau. Your observations, what are you seeing in your community after the state Supreme Court struck down the statewide stay-at-home order 2 weeks ago? How do you think businesses should deal with this time? What do you think they should do about being open or closed now? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Dave now, who's joining us from Baraboo. Hi, Dave.
Hello. Yeah, I was out to Devil's Lake State Park on Sunday, which, according to what I read in the paper, was the busiest day there. I was actually out there on Monday also, and it wasn't quite as busy on Monday as it was on Sunday. I went to the South Shore, and the parking lots were pretty much full. The parking lot on the southwest corner was absolutely full. People were parked along the road out there on the south edge of Lake Helter Skelter, everywhere they could possibly squeeze in. If you tried to walk along that sidewalk there, which I didn't because I'm very susceptible with some underlying health conditions, so I stayed in my car when I saw what was going on, there were people constantly walking within a foot of each other. If an older person was walking down that sidewalk and younger people wanted to walk faster than that, they would pass by within a foot. Mm-hmm. I saw thousands of people. I did not see a single face mask, not one, and people constantly coming within a foot of each other.
Dave, what brought you out to Devil's Lake?
Pardon?
What brought you to Devil's Lake over the weekend?
Well, I just wanted to see what was going on because I'll tell you why, and you may not really want to hear this, but one of the very conservative columnists in our local paper assured us all that as soon as the court passed overturned this stay-at-home stuff, that everybody would behave themselves because you didn't have to have rules, this columnist wrote, because people would honor this and take care of it all themselves. I thought I was going to see for myself what was going on.
Well,
and that's why I went out there, and I didn't see anybody paying any attention to the safe distancing stuff.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for those observations. Rob Mentzer, it sounds like Dave went out just to see if self-policing was happening in a tourist hotspot, Baraboo.
Yeah, and you know, these things are complicated, and it's always good to remember that there's a lot we don't know about the virus and its transmission. Based on what we know, outdoor transmission is not the major concern. That's not to say it's impossible, and so it's been one of the areas it's a difficult balance to strike. Is outdoor recreation is a good thing and mostly safe. But when you get these areas like Dave describes, where places are really mobbed with very, very large groups of people coming together, then there is reason to maybe be concerned.
Well, Maddie, you know, Milwaukee is such a large reason. Has there been any rhyme or reason as to how businesses have responded since the stay-at-home order was lifted? Do you see any trends?
I think a lot of businesses have tried to be very cautious about reopening. I know a lot were staying, even though there was a little bit of loosening up, a lot were deciding to stay closed through when the governor's order was initially supposed to wrap up, so through yesterday. And a lot of businesses are, of course, switching to more, especially restaurants, and even some stores are switching to stuff like carry out and order online. I've started to see some stores and some restaurants that have really held off on doing an online ordering system. They're kind of feeling like this is going to be a long haul. And so the best way to sort of keep business going while also keeping their staff safe is to get their online stores up and running and to work on these different ways of getting stuff to people. So, it's been a mix, but I think for the most part, people are being pretty cautious.
We have WPR reporters Madeline Fox in Milwaukee, Rob Mentzer in Wausau. Do you think businesses should stay closed even without a stay-at-home order, or do you think they should open up for business again? Are you now under a countywide or citywide stay-at-home order, or don't you even know? What do you make of social distancing right now, and how are you responding as you go out? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're taking stock of how communities and residents are negotiating the coronavirus pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee Public School employees returned to their work sites yesterday after weeks of being out of their buildings due to the pandemic. Are you a business owner? Maybe you run a summer camp. How have you adapted your offerings? What will the summer hold for you? How do you feel about the government's response to the pandemic? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Rob Mentzer with us, WPR's rural communities reporter, and Madeline Fox, WPR's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee, and they stay with us. Let's take another call now. Rob is with us from Radisson. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, and I have to say I agree with the last caller, but what amazes me the most is how the sitting president is able to keep so many Americans swimming with him on vacation in Egypt, swimming in the river of denial, disregarding that we the people and the world are in the midst of a major pandemic. The sitting president claims he noticed early on, yet he takes no responsibility for anything, including his actions as our sitting president.
Rob, may I ask, are you sheltering in place? Have you ventured out?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did yesterday, and that's why I agreed with the previous caller. But our sitting president is still not wearing a mask. He is playing golf.
And, Rob, did you see people wearing masks when you were out? When you were out?
Maybe 5% of the people at the dollar store, and about 5%, except all the employees at Walmart had rubber gloves and masks, but maybe 5% of the people had masks.
Maddie, what are you seeing in terms of people wearing masks or not in the Milwaukee area?
It's a mix. I think when people are outdoors, it's a little less common, like if they're walking dogs or biking or exercising. But we know that's a slightly lower rate of transmission just because there's the open air. When I go to grocery stores and bigger places like that, then I tend to see, I would say, half or maybe more wearing masks in my experience. So it's a mix. A lot of people do seem to be wearing them, though.
Rob Mentzer, where you are in Wausau, your mask survey, what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like, it's way more than 6 months ago. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at it that way, it's like a massive increase and a change in the way that people are behaving. You never saw masks like at all. But it's, you know, if you go to a store and you see half the people wearing masks, that's a lot of people not wearing them. I did go to a Home Depot over the weekend, like a lot of people did. And one that I saw was a couple where the woman was wearing a mask and the man was not wearing a mask. And I was kind of like, I'm not quite sure how that's supposed to work.
Each his own. Let's take another call now. Jeff in Door County. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning. I live up on the Door County Peninsula, and it was extremely disturbing this weekend to see the influx of people from out of town acting as if COVID-19 didn't even exist. We have people up here that depend on this resort economy during the summer, and I'm seriously concerned about a backlash of resentment from locals being exposed by people that just are not even remotely following simple guidelines.
Jeff, do you live in Door County throughout the year? Oh, and I think we just lost Jeff, but Rob Mentzer, that might also help explain that traffic jam that you were seeing there.
No doubt. And honestly, Jeff put his finger on something that I think is really worth thinking about, which is there's a sort of uneasy relationship that any tourist-dependent area has with its visitors in any time, right? The sense that these are outsiders, and we sort of rely on them, but they're not really us. And I think that the potential for that sort of backlash is real and is worth thinking about.
Talking with Rob Mentzer in Wausau, Madeline Fox here in Milwaukee, they're WPR reporters looking at the pandemic and how communities are negotiating it, how Wisconsinites are doing. Maddie, let's turn to K-12 education. We saw Milwaukee Public Schools open up their work sites, their buildings, but the public is not invited in. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So the thing to remember about schools, of course, is that they do more than just educate. I mean, the biggest thing that we've seen schools continue to try to do during this time is give out meals. So a lot of them are doing sort of grab and go meals, breakfast and lunch sometimes, or just a whole bag of food for the week. And so a lot of schools have been trying to negotiate the best way to get staff back in and safely allow them to get that going. And most schools have kept that going since schools close their doors around St. Patrick's Day, but I know Milwaukee Public Schools has been trying to get more staff in just to sort of keep things going and keep things running smoothly.
Do you have any indication how that went or what types of social distancing things that they put in place for the Milwaukee Public School workers?
So they've definitely been giving all the staff personal protective equipment. Of course, I think if they want to bring their own masks, they can do that. But the school is providing, you know, stuff like masks and gloves and proper hand washing stuff. So, and they're trying to encourage people to keep a distance. Milwaukee Public Schools and a lot of schools have been deep cleaning since the doors closed and trying to make sure that everything is sterile and the environment is as safe as it can be. So I think that there, it's definitely not the doors are open, staff can come back. It's very much trying to keep all the things in mind that the governor's office and the CDC and everybody else has been saying about keeping safe.
Is it too early to tell how the pandemic could affect graduation rates or college enrollment rates this fall?
So a little bit, yes. Graduation rates, I think, are certainly going to be a question. Most schools have gone either pass-fail or sort of a combination where parents can decide if their kids want a letter grade. And even some of the schools that are going pass-fail are saying if you need letter grades to submit a GPA for a scholarship or something like that, they can work something out. So it's just going to be a different way of grading. So I think graduation rates, I don't know exactly what they're going to look like, but the learning is just going to be a little different this time around. As far as college enrollments, also a little bit tough to tell. I've heard anecdotally, I actually sat in, it was very fun, on a meeting of a high school newspaper in McFarland, and they were saying that they had heard from a lot of students that were thinking about deferring a year, who had already been accepted to college and were just not really seeing the point of going and paying for a year that wasn't the college experience they were expecting. So I think we will see a lot of that as long as universities will allow students to defer.
Well, let's take another call. Ray is with us from Janesville with observations. Hi, Ray.
Good morning there, Kate.
Good morning.
I'd just like to say that I've noticed that the farms are completely full, and the pictures you see on Facebook, there's no social distancing whatsoever. And my kids, they actually have a store in downtown Janesville. In the few days they've been open, everybody that's come in there comes in with a mask. To me, it's like a generation thing that the younger people just don't care.
Ray, thank you for the call. Rob Mentzer, you know, Ray's making an observation about bars and also a younger generation. Is there any data there that would support that younger people are more willing to take risks?
I don't know. There is certainly data that supports that young people are more willing to take risks, right? Younger people have a different, risk profile, and there's a real thing among young adults who see themselves as invincible, right? Or teenagers. That exists. And certainly crowded bars exist. Especially as the order was lifted, there's a desire to as if the pandemic is over when it isn't. However, I do think I just gotta say it's important to remember the data. The data on movement in the state showed that it really only increased by a few percent after the stay-at-home order was lifted by the Supreme Court. That's based on cell phone data that's tracking how much people are moving from place to place. It wasn't a massive increase. So there is a percentage of people who are treating it that way. But I do think the data that we have shows that it's just not most people.
Well, Rob, as we start to wrap up here, you had put together a piece revealing the difficulty of schooling your child at the same time of working full time at home. So many parents are in that, and I felt it with your piece for sure. How is it going in these final weeks of school?
We're trying to close out strong, Kate. as it happens, today is my son's ninth birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday to Forrest.
Birthday.
And he had a socially distanced Fortnite party with a couple of friends.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. And so we're trying to make the best of it and make sure that he's still able to like see friends virtually and preparing for summer camp, which looks like it is going to happen.
Well, Rob and Maddie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Madeline Fox and Rob Mentzer, they're reporters for Wisconsin Public Radio. Maddie, based in Milwaukee, covers K-12 education. Rob in Wausau brings us stories from rural communities. Coming up, Wisconsin foodie host Luke Zahm is back to talk about the restaurant industry. Food, of course. Do you eat out at restaurants? Are any in your community offering in-person dining again? How do you feel about eating at restaurants amid the pandemic? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll catch up with Chef Luke Zahm at the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Memorial Day weekend typically drives customers to restaurants across the state, but this year was no typical holiday weekend. Since the state Supreme Court overturned the Safer at Home statewide order 2 weeks ago, restaurants and bars, they've all taken their own approach to what feels right in the age of social distancing and then negotiating city and county orders along the way. Do you plan on resuming your pre-pandemic routines, or will you continue to shelter in place? Did you visit a bar or restaurant after the order was lifted? What was it like? We're at 800-642-1234. Luke Zahm is a James Beard-nominated chef and owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He's the host of Wisconsin Foodie. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Well, we last talked with you in mid-March, right after the governor had ordered restaurants to stop in-person dining. What has it been like since we last talked?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Sometimes the words just even, it fails me. It's been rough. It's really, there have been actually some really good things. I want to start there. You know, taking a 60-day break after, you know, pushing, in our case, for 8 years on our restaurant, it really gave us a chance to evaluate and take a hard look at why we do what we do. And what does it mean for us to have people come into a restaurant? And I think the silver lining in that conversation is, for us, we are here to evangelize for the farmers of Wisconsin. We are here to introduce people to the vegetables, the fruits, the coffee, the dairy, the things that we can sometimes take for granted in our food sheds, to people who are excited or maybe unaware of how culturally significant our food is. So in that regard, we have become laser focused on that piece of our restaurant identity. The other part is the awareness that, you know, people may not need what we've provided up to this point. I had a really amazing mentor in Judy Faulkner, the founder and CEO of Epic Systems, and she had a banner over her desk that said, "What got you here won't get you there." And I think for a lot of restaurateurs and a lot of people that we've been talking to, we're all kind of applying that philosophy. What got us to where we are will not get us in the next chapter. And in that regard, it's extremely unsettling. It's, as the governor indicated, a little bit like the Wild West.
In the chapter that you're in right now, the Driftless Cafe is back open. Is that right?
We are open for curbside and takeout.
Okay.
We wanted to make sure that in our community, you know, we're a fairly small city, 4,362 people. We knew that our statistics trend to attracting people from Madison, Minneapolis, Chicago, and Milwaukee. As a matter of fact, on Friday and Saturday night, 62% of our credit card transactions are from those municipalities. So we know that when we open the door, we are going to be bringing people in from higher density population areas that may possibly be carriers of the virus. And we want to make sure that we have taken all the precautions necessary to keep our community, our staff, and then our customers safe. So, no, we're not technically open yet.
When you did close, you had brought employees back in, gave them one last paycheck, and sent them with the perishable food in your kitchen. How are your employees making it?
I think some of them are great. I can honestly say, and maybe this is to a detriment to the whole industry. I mean, right now with the unemployment stimulus that's coming through, which is an additional $600 per week per applicant, I have some employees that are making more consistent money and steady money than they did when they were working. Mm. And I don't think that that's, Ruthie and I really carry that piece in our heart, but we actually pay pretty well for our restaurant. I think that that's difficult to ask people to come back now into this phase of uncertainty. So we've brought back maybe, I think it's like 20% of our staff. We've brought out a furlough. And the other piece that's really been taxing is, folks in the last 60 days have had a lot of time to process and have had a lot of time, to let the momentum of the restaurant kind of fall away. And we have actually lost some people because they feel like the response to the pandemic is such an overreach that they are choosing to participate in a completely different part of their lives. And, while that's okay, some attrition is natural. Sometimes, people won't agree with the decisions that are being made in an organization like ours. It's really hard because we hold those people as family in our hearts.
Right. Those customers who come to dine with you again and again, you make sure that that continues to be a regular occurrence. You want to be a part of what they think about when they eat out. What happens if you do make a lot of changes to inside your restaurant and then either, the customers don't come or you just, can't seem to make it with, 25% capacity?
Yeah, well, the first thing that I do want to say is, on the 25% capacity piece, I think that most good restaurateurs, and I would go so far as to say almost all good restaurateurs, have a metric in their head for the number of seats, like the amount of money that you need to capitalize on per seat in the restaurant. So, for example, the cafe is 88 seats at normal capacity. With social distancing measures in place, the most seats we can get in there safely is 52. 52 doesn't pay my bills. It pays a portion of them, but over time, that's not a winning financial solution. So right now what we're doing is we are diligently trying to create outdoor dining spaces. We are having to get creative with how we bring people in. We have to be creative in like really maximizing the potential for in-house dining and bringing people in safely, but maybe asking, if you're going to be a party of 10, we are going to group you together in a space that might be a little bit tighter than we would normally like. But because you all have kind of made this social contract with each other to come out to eat and dine together, it allows us to at least have a little bit of indemnification. If one of you in your party gets sick, you're not going to make the whole restaurant sick. The risk, obviously, is that we're borrowing money to make these changes in our restaurant. Restaurant margins are so incredibly slim. So, the upside on our best days is that, okay, we're going to do something to be able to still evangelize for the farmers and the food producers of Wisconsin, and this restaurant has, community implications, it has social implications, and we believe in all those things. The downside is that, we are taking on more debt personally, Ruthie and I are, in the hope that our message is still relevant and then in the hope that our customers are safe and they're excited to come back, and they're excited to experience the bounty of what this region is producing.
Luke Zahm is with us, owner and chef at Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He also hosts Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. Getting your insights on restaurants and where they're at in your community. Are you going to restaurants? Are they open or are they doing curbside? How are they negotiating this time? How are you patronizing them? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Monique now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Monique.
Hello.
Hi, what's your situation?
I work in a small restaurant, and I'm a mother of children out of MPS right now, and we are trying to do our best to continue to order from small businesses as well. But as a worker in one, I just can't believe how many people just are so angry that we wear masks or that we are not opening our doors to let them inside. And as the last gentleman said, we are having lots of people who are telling us through their car windows, oh, we drove up from Chicago, which I thought was still under lockdown, but I'm not there, so I'm not 100%, which makes me even more uncomfortable for when we do decide to open our patio, which is on June 15th at the restaurant I work at. It makes me nervous about who's coming out from different places, who is carrying this, and they are not wearing masks or gloves when they open their windows to speak to us and collect their food.
Monique, thank you for bringing your situation. Luke Zahm, Monique, her small restaurant is opening up patio service on June 15th, and that seems really scary to Monique.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to speak to the, like, it's really frustrating, I can say honestly. When we made the decision after the Supreme Court Safer at Home ruling was overturned, Ruthie actually went online, my wife and the general manager of the cafe, and said, hey, you know what? We are not actually going to open our doors right away. We want to make sure that we go through this in stages that we can control. And that actually triggered a response from an Open Wisconsin group that, you know, we started getting phone calls of people who were irate about the fact that the cafe wasn't just opening its doors and it's free for everybody to come in and there are no rules. And that was really confusing. I mean, there was a day when we were trying to schedule people to come in and take reservations and get our business going. And then we would have people calling and telling us how much they hated our decision and how this is ridiculous. And that's just overwhelming.
That added a lot of stress to an already stressful situation as a restaurant owner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's really defeating and kind of soul-crushing in that regard. And at the cafe right now, we are, you know, much like Monique said, we're gearing up. June 11th is the first day that we plan on being open for the dining public. But, I mean, I literally have crews working right now trying to build walls and partitions and places that we can get people through the restaurant safely because we can't actually trust that everyone knows the right thing to do. So we have to be that steward.
We have chef and restaurant owner Luke Zahm with us as we talk about dining out. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some restaurants gave their best shot at curbside pickup. Now some are focused on expanding patio seating. We're looking at how the restaurant industry is adjusting amid the pandemic. How do you feel about dining out? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have Luke Zahm, who is the host of Wisconsin Foodie and a restaurant owner in Viroqua. He stays with us. Let's take another call now. Chris is with us from Appleton. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, and I understand that you work in a sub shop.
I do, as a delivery driver and in shop, I don't know, assistant or helper.
How is it for you?
Horrible. People seem to so I want to concur with the previous caller who said that people get angry. They really do. They get angry for no reason. Well, because they can't get their fast food. They ignore all the signs and precautions that we ask them to take. When we were closed to in-shop dining, they would ignore the two signs through two separate doors that say, please do not enter, please just call us, and we'll bring your food out. It's dumbfounding.
Luke, it's hard to maintain order, even with clarity in signage, Chris says.
Yeah, you know, and I have to say to both Chris and Monique, first and foremost, you know, as brothers and sisters in the hospitality industry, like, it's gut check time. It's our job to provide experiences for people. And, you know, food is this common uniter among all of us. We all have to eat. And, you know, if I can just reach out even on, like, an emotional level and say, while this is extremely frustrating and scary, you know, we can't go back. Obviously, we're not scientists in that regard. People are going to believe different things than maybe we hold true. But, you know, if you can try and take some of that negativity away and some of the fear, I think I see people acting out of fear right now more than I ever have in my entire life. And I think, honestly, one of the things that's the most frustrating is that there isn't guidance coming from local health departments or state health departments. When the Safer at Home was overturned in my county, the health department issued an order stating that we don't need an order. We know what to do. Well, that's fantastic. Yes, I do know what to do because I live in a rural part of Wisconsin. You know, 9 times out of 10, I can hang out on our house or at our house or on our farm, and I'll be okay. But folks coming in from the outside don't know what to do. And without any guidance there, they put people like Chris, like Monique, like my staff and me at risk. And my staff, I have 64 people, and literally there's no health insurance. We don't have access to the health care. So when you come into a restaurant and you're not feeling well, you're not only going to expose other customers, but for the people who are in the service industry and often are underserved in that industry, you know, we carry that risk too. And you can understand, hopefully, as a consumer, as a diner, that we might be afraid. We don't have the answers to this, and I don't think anyone does. And quite frankly, if there are answers, they're not being disseminated in a way that we can understand them and be able to react to them accordingly. So as a hospitality worker, yes, I am afraid. If you don't follow social distancing guidelines, I am afraid. It makes me feel like all the effort that we're taking could be for naught, and it's the people that I depend on that are going to be the ones that get sick.
Chris, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Rob now in Green Bay. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I manage a local restaurant in Green Bay, and I definitely echo a number of the sentiments of the previous callers. I just want to try and make a couple of quick, concise points, but it's definitely unprecedented times, and we're dealing with challenges that we've never seen before, and we're trying to navigate that the best we can. For us personally here at Hinterland Brewery in Green Bay, we have the opportunity to do takeout initially, but the numbers just didn't make sense. We did get some emergency funding, including the Paycheck Protection Program, which enabled us to do takeout and delivery for the last 3 weeks, and we've kind of focused on that and optimized that. And we did just reopen after, through the whole process of the 5-6 weeks that we were down or doing takeout delivery, we've implemented a number of new protocols and operational procedures to mitigate the risks that this new environment is presenting to us.
Rob, how many of these decisions fall on your shoulders as manager of Hinterland Brewery? How many decisions are you having to make regarding public health?
So we have a management team that we, as well as our owners, that are the final decision-making. But our management team and our owners is very collaborative in the process. As Luke said, the unfortunate thing right now is there's no specific guidelines. The good thing is there are guidelines out there. The Evers administration did put together actually very excellent comprehensive with the business consortium to have opening guidelines and guidelines in place with the Badger Bounce Back Plan and the further opening for business. We're utilizing all those guidelines, although you don't have to, and that's the problem, is that it's not consistent across the state as to what each facility can do. So you go into one and they're wide open and doing whatever, and you come into our place and we're 50% capacity and we have signage and directional all over and plexiglass partitions in places where we can't achieve social distancing. And that inconsistency is the issue and trying to get across the message.
Rob, thank you for bringing that. Luke Zahm, inconsistency, a big issue there at Hinterland Brewery in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Rob, you run a great restaurant. I know some fantastic chefs that have come out of there, Dan Van Wright. And I do think also the city of Green Bay has been fairly proactive in trying to really instill a sense of security and a sense of well-being. And the WEDC, the guidelines that you referenced, the Badger Bounce Back Program, that has been basically like the playbook that we're all trying to follow. But you're absolutely correct. When customers come in, and all marketing data shows that when there's customer confusion, usually the sales go down. Customers want to feel from the moment they walk in the door, it's one of our hospitality principles anyway, that we want to be saying yes as soon as possible. It helps people feel seen. It helps people feel valued. And when you're saying yes in those environments, that's when you really start to generate good sales and momentum. With some of the social distancing pieces being inconsistent, restaurateurs are being forced to say no or to give guidance in areas where we're not exactly clear what the ramifications may be. Go ahead.
Luke, I'm wondering, you know, as we've heard so much about disruptions to food supply chains, are you noticing food prices climbing for you?
Yes, we are definitely noticing food prices climbing, but we're also seeing, because we live in a largely agricultural area, we're all seeing kind of the backside, where suddenly for some of our hog producers, it's not viable to carry a herd anymore. They know that they're not going to be able to schedule slaughtering. I actually got an email from a farmer in Sharon, Wisconsin, selling animals, whole full-grown hogs, for $150. And you bought them and you got them off of their farm because they didn't have processing available. The trick was they had 2,200 animals that they were trying to get rid of. There are problems all across this chain right now where we can't actually get some of the proteins out. And then our small farmers, because farmers markets have been affected and they don't have restaurants to be able to sell it to, they're sitting on a lot of crops that they're going to waste, or they're ending up in food pantries, which is not a waste. That's a great step, but it's not a profitable step. So for the next couple weeks here at least, and maybe even through the course of this entire growing season, we're going to start to see disruptions in that supply chain, and pricing is definitely going to be a symptom of that disruption.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's like I said, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And, you know, we'll get through this together and we'll keep moving forever forward.
Take care. Luke Zahm is a James Beard nominated chef, owner of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He's host of Wisconsin Foodie. Just ahead, it's On Point. The president has fired at least 5 inspectors general. It may be his right, but what impact will it have on accountability and democracy? On Point is next with that. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.